Hey, good Monday morning to you. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce. Good morning, guys.
And good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
And good morning to everyone who's listening to us. You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted here on KWTO 560 AM. If you'd like to give us a call here at the station this morning, our number is 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056. Or star 56 on your cell phone. If you've been keeping up in the news about the 8 kids that beat the young girl that had the YouTube video posted, Dan, you keep up with that?
I have been. That's interesting.
Oh, my. Have you seen the video?
I haven't. So that's terrible.
It's a terrible video.
It's hard to watch.
It is hard to watch. It's hard to watch kids beat another child that way. And especially from a therapist's viewpoint, from a counselor's viewpoint, to see those children and think, number one, how in the world did they get that idea to do that? Number two is, where were the parents in all of this? And number three, did these kids have no concept of accountability for doing something this horrific to this other child? And if you watch the video, that child tried to get up and walk away, tried to get up and walk out of the house, and kept being pummeled and beaten back into the house. And so these kids are charged with kidnapping, battery, and they're being tried as adults. The judge is going to try them as adults.
Throw the book at them.
One of the things I heard this morning from a lot of other teens, it's been reported that they're posting their videos on YouTube, actually coming out and condemning what these 8 did. And these children ranged in age from 14 to 17 that were involved in this beating. But other teenagers across the country, I guess around the world, are coming out and saying, where were your morals? Where were your principles? What was happening to you that you thought you could do this and put it on worldwide video on YouTube and not be held accountable for it? I know a lot of people are asking a lot of questions about that and wondering what in the world is going on. We're going to talk about that this morning. We talk about families and talk about relationships. And to know that whatever we do, all behaviors in the context of relationships, all behaviors in the context of family. And boy, to see that video, I mean, a lot of people have gotten very upset about it, and there's been a lot of discussion about it. But this goes right into what Ken and I were talking about last week, and we talked about it in other shows in past months, that there are behaviors that have to be seen and to be seen in family relationships. That's just the way it is. To know that children are to be parented, that children are to be taught a standard right and wrong, that children are to be taught accountability. And I think, to some extent, I think a lot of children in this country are. But there's a lot of children that are being influenced, who are seeking fame, who are seeking visibility by outrageous acts, such as the beating of this young girl down in Bartow, Florida.
If you'd like to give us a call and join us in studio, phone number is 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening via the online stream, give us a call at 800-375-0056. It is absolutely amazing that with the internet, we seem to take on the hope of some sort of anonymity. Mm-hmm. That there was a certain amount of fame there, but the thought is, well, no one's going to know who I am because, hey, this is the World Wide Web. Who's going to know?
That's an oxymoron. It's the World Wide Web. Who's going to know? The world's going to know.
So, as we've talked in previous weeks, we've talked about a lot of these things of why these things happen. We have the kid in West Virginia at the university there last year goes in and shoots up the classrooms and things there. We have Columbine. We have now the example of just kids pummeling this girl on YouTube. Why are these things happening? It gets down to a lot of the things that we've been talking about in previous shows, which is, do we have an authority in our life? Do we have an accountability? What is our life based on at the core?
What are the principles that our life is being built upon, that we're being taught as children, and that we're incorporating and building our lives on beginning in adolescence and teenage years?
And we talked about so many times, we try to reduce kids down to just being mutant chimps, an atomic anomaly. In school, they're taught you're nothing more than something that's evolved from a lower form of life. And whatever you do is, whatever you think is right, is up to you. It has no, there is no authority in your life. And we're teaching kids there is no right and wrong. It's merely opinion. That there is really no accountability because they're nothing more than a mutant chimp, just an atomic anomaly. And when we take that and we run it out through life, we get instances like this. And then we wonder, wow, why did that happen? You kind of want to look at it and go, duh. So, if you want to go back and listen, all the shows that we've done are posted online. You can go to the radio archives. Go to SpringfieldMFI.com for Marriage and Family Institute. SpringfieldMFI.com. Click on the radio archives there and listen to the shows. We've been talking about this and joining in discussion, and a lot of people are going back and listening to these shows. Every show we've done has been hit every month since it was produced. Every one of
That's
them.
That's right, yes.
They all get played, replayed, sent to their friends and family. This is part of getting this discussion started, not just in Springfield, but in the surrounding area and the surrounding states. And now going across country, people are referring these shows on and getting the conversation started about what are we teaching our kids? What about the life they've always wanted? Are we giving them the tools and the ability to have the life they've always wanted? And so people are discussing these things, and that's what we want. We want to stir discussion. We want to stir debate. We want to get people up and saying, you know, you're right. There is a basis on which to live a life that is empowering, that is freeing, but that also is guiding and allows us to live life to the fullest. We have Andrew in Ozark. Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. I was just listening to you guys, and I just had a question. I mean, I've seen this on the news for the past week, and I really just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to catch exactly if there was any information like behind why was this situation happening with these kids beating up on that girl?
That's a good question. I have not seen exactly why either. I've not seen any background reporting on this.
Well, how did it come out then? And you know, if there's no information on it, why is this being shown and nothing? No one knows, you know, what's going on.
Well, if kids planned this, they videotaped it, then they posted the video to YouTube.
So they basically just did it for fun.
They did it for entertainment.
That's terrible.
Oh, that's what, exactly. I believe it's horrific.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's retarded. I think it's up to parents to be, you know, influencing their children in certain ways. And mm-hmm. I mean, if I was, you know, in charge, I would be charging, you know, their parents being horrible parents. And I think what stems to people not being in church like they should and learning things that we all should be learning. And
that's exactly right.
Being
that's
better people.
That's exactly what we've been talking about even over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Is that this has to be addressed at individual, at a family level.
Sure.
And what the family teaches the children.
Yeah.
This is all within a system. We don't live in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
We live our lives according to what's been input into us mm-hmm. and how we process that.
Yeah.
This wasn't just a defense that someone, you know, happened to videotape a fight and saw someone in self-defense.
Right.
You know, I had an example of a friend of mine who had a girl that was in the second grade, and the bully kept picking on her, and the teacher wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got some friends, they went out to the playground, she grabbed a stone and said, aim for the head. She and a bunch of friends got together and took this kid out.
Yeah.
But that was part of the defense. She was defending herself.
Yeah.
This attack here was just a brutal attack.
Right.
You believe that the parents have some responsibility in this then, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they're not fully adults, but I think they should personally be held completely responsible to a level. But man, I think just, you know, because of their age, I think that their parents should bear some of this responsibility also.
Yeah, the age of these children are from 14 to 17.
Right.
Yeah. And I believe the same thing. I believe that as parents, we have a responsibility to the behavior of our children until they reach accountability, until they reach legal age.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yep.
And I'm not sure what's going to happen to these parents. I'm sure that this is upsetting for all the parents.
Right.
And for the families. But,
well, but I'm sure
they need accountability in this.
I think something needs to be done to them, too. So,
what do you think ought to be done?
Man, who knows? I'm only 21. Who am I to say anything about that? But, you know, all I know is that I thank God for my parents raising me a lot better than that. And I grew up in a Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had good morals and good values, and I was privileged to go to private school. And even in private school, there's some issues like this about kids really being forced to be there and not really wanting to be there. But in the youth group, you know, at my church, you know, I just see awesome kids in there who would never do anything like this. And I think it's just in how you're raised and it's how your mind is programmed.
So. I was going to say, part of it also, though, is as we're growing up, and Andrew, you're in the same situation, there are things that you did that you knew, I shouldn't be doing this.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But what was your parents' reaction? Was it, oh, well,
no,
never mind,
they,
just turn another cheek?
They, you know, I got disciplined and I got explained to why it was wrong.
You had a standard of right and wrong.
I got trained that way, you know.
Well, very good. Andrew, thank you very much for the call.
We have Don here in Springfield. Good morning, Don. Are you still there?
Good morning, Mr. Boyce. I haven't called in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I've been wondering what happened to you, Don.
Well, here's what's going on. First of all, you talk about this, but I saw part of that video because I'm a news junkie. Those kids were taught evidently nothing about the Word of God or about discipline in the home. The schools, as far as schools go, they're supposed to back up what the parents teach the schools.
Well, I tell you, Don, when it comes to the parenting, one thing about it is that it has to be from the parents.
Yeah, it does.
The parents talking with the schools, parents going to the principal, the parents going to the school administration, the parents going to the school board.
There's a problem here. The school doesn't back up what the parents teach because of the NEA.
No, but a lot of times the parents are the ones that also assume that what the schools are teaching is what they're wanting them to teach.
Well, they deny to.
A lot of times they are. You're right. But it all goes back down to a personal responsibility.
Yeah, I can't
both as an individual and as parents.
Yeah, we want to blame each other, blame the devil, blame mental health or whatever, but we don't want to take responsibility. Vida Bell, when she used to host a talk show, and she's a good lady.
Yes, she is.
I think she made a key statement. We lack a responsibility in American society. We've kicked God out.
You know, Don, when we eliminate ultimate authority, then we eliminate accountability and responsibility to that.
Exactly. I didn't have any respect for authority. I grew up in one parent family. My mom was a godly mother. Took me to Sunday school in Crenshaw Baptist Church. Dr. Ward's a pastor. Yeah, he was celebrating his anniversary with his wife. Thank God there are a few marriages stay together. But people need to turn to the Lord and ask, God, are you trying to say something to me? Tell the president and Congress to. Is God trying to tell this country something?
Well, Don, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, if you'd like to give us a call here at the station, our number is 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056. Or you can call us on your cell at star 56. You know, to think that we can eliminate authority, ultimate authority in this country, or the concept of an ultimate authority and our objective authority to which we are all accountable and that we're all equally accountable to think that we can eliminate that in our teaching and in the basic cultural mindset in our country or any country around the world, it doesn't matter. I mean, this is happening in other countries around the world as well. But to think we can eliminate that and still have order, still have peace, still have a sense of unity in this country and not chaos is foolishness. It's foolishness. And this is what Ken and I have been talking about. To have the life we've always wanted, we first have got to admit that there's an authority to whom we're accountable. And that this authority has the right to create boundaries, to set boundaries and define responsibilities for us. And that's an objective authority. That's outside of ourselves. That I am not the ultimate authority of my life. And yet there's so many people being taught that in this country. And that's what Ken and I have discussed in past shows, that in the postmodern philosophy, postmodern mindset, that there is no objective truth. There is no absolute authority. And you may get tired of me saying this, talking about this, but I'm telling you that this is being taught in our schools. It's being taught in our universities. It's being taught in our churches that there is no absolute authority that governs our life.
It's merely our opinion and our interpretation.
Yeah. We have to decide which it is. How we decide and what we believe about ourselves as an individual, but also as a family, as a society, determines a whole lot the behaviors that go on in that family or in that society. You know, the nature of a family, we talk a lot about families, and these kids, all these kids came out of families. Not one of these came to the world without a family. They were involved in this beating. What about these families? What about these children that grow up and even in grade school become bullies? And in junior high and middle school become bullies, or high school become bullies and thugs? What's going on in those families that these children feel like they have to have these types of behaviors to have some type of visibility, to have some type of worth or notoriety? What's going on in these families that they feel so empty or they feel so unworthy that they have to have these types of behaviors.
WK, you've also said that we had the three greatest needs.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something in this type of action that somehow fulfills or falsely fulfills those three greatest needs?
Those three greatest needs are to be understood for who we are, to be accepted unconditionally, not on the basis of how well we perform, but that we're here, that we're a special person, we're a special creation, and to be valued more than the whole world by other significant people in our life. And that begins with our parents. And then as we mature, as we grow up and become adults, then that goes to God.
So is being on YouTube, having the popularity or the perceived fame on YouTube, is that meeting a role of trying to be accepted? Is that what they're trying to do? Or to say, hey, look at me and people like me because this is what I put up and there were a million hits on it?
Sure. I believe that absolutely. I believe any time a child has to put a video on YouTube, or even an adult puts a video on YouTube, to get that type of notoriety, to get that sense of fame, that's an empty substitute for what someone in their life who is valuable in their life needs to be giving to them. We have Ruth at Shell Knob. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
Are you okay this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm just interested in your subject this morning.
Very good.
Of course, being an older person, I have a lot of opinions. Some of them good, some of them bad.
Well, that's all right.
But mine are mostly from observing and being involved.
So what do you think, Ruth?
Well, I have realized why our children, so many of them, are behaving the way they are. And whenever you have probably 60 to 70% of the births today being to single mothers, and they start very early being a ward of the community or the state or the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a union that is so powerful.
Which union is that?
I'm talking about the National Education Department and the union that they have and they hold over the rules and regulations of the schools in our country. There are some remedies that I really believe that would help.
And they are?
I think that a person should be able to select the school that his child goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And if he chooses a school outside of the regular public schools, that he should get all of that he spends on that school in percentage of what he would spend at a public school to go to the education of his child at a facility.
So you like the parents having the responsibility and the authority to put their kids where they think their kids will learn what they're trying to teach?
That should be their choice.
And also
they shouldn't
have the vouchers,
They should not have to pay the public schools for that service. That should be there to buy the education and pay for the education of their own children. And I think that you would get a lot better citizens in this country if we could do that. What we do with the rest of them, I don't know, because if they have no parents, nobody but a federal government that they belong to, what do you expect? They're going to be uncivilized, let's say.
Well, Ruth, thank you very much for the call. You know, Ruth is right. We need to have the authority, and it is our responsibility, and we should have the authority to be able to raise our children, to be able to teach them right and wrong. And if we're not getting that information from the schools, is to say, okay, I'm going to take my kids from the school and put them into this school. And that puts some competition on the schools also, what they're teaching, what results they're getting from the students. We're going into the bottom half of the hour here. We've got Robert in Springfield. Robert, you got about 30 seconds.
Hey, thank you very much. Since we've gone to about 19th, 20th, 21st in such things as mathematics, science, and history, it is my observation that being a lifelong resident that the secular humanism has destroyed the principles that I grew up with, and that being the fact that we are a sin-sick nation in need of a savior, and his name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get that back as an ethics and a morals in our public schools, we're primed and cocked for major bad things.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Robert, for your call. You know, Robert, I think secular humanism hasn't won. I believe that Christianity is winning and will win. the principles are indisputable and they're eternal. We need to be able to know that and to speak out about that, and just like your call, I think that we need to be able to say that and encourage one another with that.
Robert, from my point of view, it is a bottoms-up approach. This has to start at the individual level. It's what I do on a daily basis. If I'm teaching my kids to be able to read Scripture and to pass on those beliefs, to teach them right and wrong, it's going to start from the bottom up. We have to be able to empower the individual. So many times we mention God on the air and we mention Jesus on the air, and a lot of people get really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like walking across needles. Why is that? Because it's been driven out of the normal population. People are saying, well, you can have religious freedom as long as you keep it in your box on Sunday morning in the building you're in, and that's it. Don't bring it out here into culture.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, if we truly are believers, this is something we live. This is something that happens on a daily basis. We have to be able to teach and discuss and openly talk about what we believe, why we believe it, and to be able to pass that on,
you know,
openly.
You know, to say that we can't talk about those things publicly in a public arena is to say we can't publicly discuss the foundations, the principles upon which this very country was built. And we need to be able to say, yes, I believe that. Yes, these are the principles. And we have the freedom to do that. We're guaranteed the freedom from the Constitution to be able to talk freely and openly about the principles upon which this country was founded.
If you'd like to find out more about us, go to springfieldmfi.com. That's springfieldmfi for Marriage and Family Institute.com. And check us out there. If you want to listen to the shows, every show we've done is archived there. It's recorded, edited, and it's just ready to go. So you can click on any one, stream it, save the link, and send an email to a friend. But check us out. Give us a call at 882-6767 if you'd like to come in and talk with WK or one of the counselors at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We're getting to the bottom half of the break here, so stick around, and we will be back second half of the show.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are W.K. and Ken Boyce with the second half of the program.
And good morning. We're back, and we've had a lively first half of the program.
Very lively discussion.
Appreciate the phone calls that have come in and all the comments that are being made this morning. We're talking about families and what's going on in families, what's going on in the families of these eight kids that beat this girl down in Florida, and what drove them to that, and why in the world did they think they could get by with that?
And part of that is that we don't live in a vacuum. We're talking, bringing in family systems, how this affects things. This is also bringing up part of what we started last week discussing. So if you missed last week's show, go to springfieldmfi.com, click on the radio archive for the show 407-08, and click on that and listen to it. And that's part of what we're going into today. But again, if you'd like to join us in studio, 862-9977, 1-800-375-0056. As WK and Dan both said, this is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Springfield Marriage and Family Institute exists for a variety of reasons. One is to provide counseling, professional counseling to individuals, couples, and families all through Southwest Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and some of the other surrounding states. But it's professional counseling based on Christian values. And it provides real-life solutions. It's amazing the people that come through and go, you know, WK, Ken, this just isn't what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought when we walked in the door and all the fear I'd built up and all the anxiety I brought, I'm just amazed. This is not what I expected. This is great. This feels good. I think this will work. And it's so many times people walk through the door and that's the explanation and the expression that they have. That just, wow, this is not what I expected.
Yeah.
So if you and your family are struggling, there's conflict right now, there's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, don't sit there and just mull through it. Now, every family we have, we're going to have times where we're going to have adjustments in the family. Many arguments, skirmishes, and part of that's just growing and learning to live with each other and a lot of individuals being a family. But there are times and occasions when things just collide and it only gets worse. Don't wait. There is help. there is a little bit of knowledge. A lot of times, just being able to talk it out with someone who knows what's going on and why things happen the way they do and can provide a third-party perspective that is professionally trained to say, let's try this, let's look at this, this will make the difference. And that's what people get at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. So we provide individual counseling. We also do workshops and seminars around the area. And one of the things we've got going on right now is what's known as Coffee with WK.
Yes.
So if you ever want a chance to come out and meet WK, we're going to be at Churchill's this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. They're on East Republic Road, so just east of Fremont there.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we're talking about singles. What does it mean to be single? You know, become the type of person you want to share your life with. Have you ever thought about that? Am I the kind of person that I would want to share my life with?
That's a good question.
Interesting question. But we're going to talk about singles. We talk about all kinds of life issues. We've talked about parenting 2 to 5 year olds. Talk last week about emptying the nest.
Mm-hmm.
That we're working ourselves out of a job as parents. So what does that mean when our kids turn 18, 19, or are getting ready to leave home? You know, one of the biggest questions people ask is, okay, who am I now and what do we do now that the kids are gone? And so we discuss a lot of things at Coffee with WK. So come and join us. If you would, give us a call. Let us know you're coming. We'd like to have an idea how many are going to be there. And you can call our office at 882-6767, 882-6767 to register, or you can go online to springfieldmfi.com. There is a poster there on the homepage, Coffee with WK. Just click it and follow the directions to be able to go through. Now, one of the upcoming events, and this is absolutely amazing, and it fits in so well with what we've been talking about the past couple weeks. Coming up next week, April 24th, The Secrets of the Creation Matrix. Do you know that the Matrix has you? That you're inside the Matrix? How do we understand the Matrix? What is the Matrix? It is the key to absolutely the best empowered living you'll ever have. The Matrix is something you can take and lay over your job, lay over your family, lay over what your ideas are for the future, and know exactly where you are, what your responsibilities are, and how to achieve it. It's amazing. And one of the most empowering things about it gives you the ability to say no, as well as the ability to say yes.
That's right.
So come and join us with Coffee with WK, Thursday night, Churchill's on East Republic Road.
I'd love to have you there.
7 to 9. And if you would, again, give us a call, let us know you're coming. That way we can make sure as far as the numbers and we have enough material, etc. But it's an absolutely incredible time. Everyone that has come has just gone away, blown away. This is not what I thought. This is so incredible. The information there, the discussion, the points of view from very young to the more experienced people.
Yeah.
It's a wide range. So Coffee with WK.
And we've been talking about families. And one of the things I came across this morning, I was reading Fox News on the internet. And one of the things I came across this morning is that teenagers are trading nude photos via mobile phone. Now, as part of teen dating, experts say, the teens are taking nude pictures of themselves and actually sending them to people that they want to date or that they are dating. I know they're talking about girls are getting more aggressive. The girls take nude photos of themselves and send them to boys and kind of putting themselves out there. And they're saying that this is becoming a part of teens' courtship behavior. Now, I'm going to ask again, where are the parents of these kids? Why are these kids believing that this is okay? How could a teenager believe that they could take a new picture of themselves and send it to somebody and it's not going to get put on the internet
instantly?
Or that it's okay to expose themselves this way, truly expose themselves, and think that somebody's going to want to date them to get to know them in a meaningful way? It's just absolutely ridiculous. Again, where are the parents? Where are the parents with this kind of thinking and this stuff going on? I know the law enforcement's concerned about it because they're breaking all kinds of laws. And parents ultimately have to have some kind of responsibility with this.
The other thing is it puts the girls at risk. We're looking
yes,
at...
Yes, it does.
One of the shows, a lot of things I don't like about MSNBC, but one of them I like is the Child Predator series, where they're actually going online, hunting child predators online, staging things to have them come in and meet. And you sit there, I mean, Chris Hansen's the one that hosts it, and these guys are coming in to meet 12-year-old girls. Presumably, this happens enough that they trust the fact that the kid's saying, yeah, my mom and dad aren't here, come on over.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit there and see one after another, preying on kids. A lot of times, it's the kids putting the information out there. You know, in this case, it's adults posing as them, but they can camouflage well enough to say, yep, this is what's going on. Come on over.
Again, where are the parents with this? Where's the standard of right and wrong? Where's the teaching of morality? Where is the teaching of self-respect? What are these children being taught, or are they being taught? And just how absent are these parents?
So would you say that's a breakdown of the family system?
That's a huge breakdown in the family system. Huge breakdown. If you'd like to give us a call about your comments, it's 862-9977. 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056. Or if you're out in your car and you've got your cell phone, it's star 56. Give us a call.
On Alltel Cellular. I read this last week, but Clifford Adams is the director of the Marriage Counseling Service in Pennsylvania State College.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his observation. And this was in regards to trying to, as he started a talk, to give an arresting point, something that grabbed your attention. But this was done back in 1940. So listen to this. Today, the chances of our young people will find happiness through marriage is slim indeed. The rise of the divorce rate is frightening. One marriage in five or six landed on the rocks in 1940. By 1946, it's expected to be one in four. And if the long-range trend continue, the rate in 50 years will be one in two. How did he know? Now, he said this as something to be a shock value. We sit there and look at it and go, to get back to one in six would be a huge goal to reach, because we are at the one and two level. Mm-hmm. So how did he know? Was he clairvoyant? No. He understood families. He understood family systems. You can understand trends, things that are happening. And that's part of what we're talking about now, is the causes and effects that we live in, the family systems we live in, and the fact that we do not live in a vacuum. We've said so many times on the show that we affect the next four generations. So things that I'm doing today
mm-hmm.
will affect my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren directly.
That's right. That's right. There are interactions in families, how we behave toward one another, how we communicate with one another. There are patterns of communication. There are patterns of behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And there are family rules that are taught and enforced. Most of these rules are never verbally taught, but they provide the structure for what identifies this as a family and what the expectations are.
Well, WK, as a professional, what do you have that is able to explain this, or how do you understand this? What did you learn to be able to help people do this? Something called Bowen's Family System.
Bowen's Family Systems Theory, actually established by Murray Bowen, and he died in, I think, 1999. But Murray Bowen began teaching this in the mid-1960s, and what he's saying is that families are systems. Families are the interrelationship of all the members. And there's a big mindset, a large mindset in this country, that as a family, we're all in this together alone. That what we do doesn't affect anybody else in our family, and what our family does doesn't affect anybody else in our community. But in truth, it does. In truth, it does. What we do affects everyone else in our family. John Bradshaw says that our families are like mobiles. You know, the mobiles that hang there, and you push on one element of the mobile, and the whole mobile moves. And the families are the same way. The families are the same way. And there are repetitive patterns of behavior. There are repetitive patterns of communication that reinforce expectations and rules in the family. That's the reason why there are behaviors and traits seen from one generation of family to the next, and to the next, and to the next. That because they always do what they've always done, they always get what they always got. And most of this, again, is at an unconscious level. These are just things we grow up with. All of us assume this is normal, and we don't even know enough about it to question it, or that we can.
But these systems allow you as a therapist to be able to explore this and put it into perspective, put it in its place, and go, aha, this is what's happening, why it's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and that there's an energy in families. There's an energy in families that Bowen says he called anxiety. Okay? And that the more each person was allowed to have their own life, to have their own powers, to use their own abilities, to think their own thoughts and feel their own feelings, he called these people differentiated people. These people were different than the others. They were allowed to be a unique person. And to individuals whose lives were filled with this anxiety, they weren't allowed to have their own thoughts, their own feelings. Many times these people were raised up in abusive homes or traumatized families. They are not allowed to think for themselves. And they have to just do what the family's always done.
Mm-hmm.
And he called these people undifferentiated individuals. Okay? And what we know is that the more undifferentiated a person is, the more apt they are to become bullies. The more likely they are to become thugs and later on criminals. Because they are not thinking. They do not have a thought process that says that there's a right and there's a wrong. Okay? We have Brendan in Lebanon.
Got about 30 seconds, Brendan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to say that oftentimes, or sometimes when kids act the way they act, it's because their parents tell them that it's all right to act that way, like the way they dress or anything else like that, because when the parents themselves are growing up, oftentimes they'll say, well, I didn't have a very good life. I think you should have a better life than I did. And oftentimes I think that's why some of the kids act the way they act, is because the parents have told them it's all right, they can do anything they want to.
And the parents have some sort of guilt that they're dealing with, trying to say, well, kids, you live it so that I can have a freer conscience.
Exactly.
Family
anyway,
systems.
That's all I have to say.
Family systems.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brendan.
And that's what I'm saying, is that we each need to have our own thoughts and feelings and be encouraged to have our thoughts and feelings, to be taught standard of right and wrong, and to be able to think about principles and to choose behaviors based on those principles. The more we do that, the more differentiated we are and the healthier our family is. That's from a counselor's standpoint.
If you'd like to come and see WK and meet him, this Thursday we've got Coffee with WK at Churchill's on East Republic Road from 7 to 9 p.m. Give us a call to register at 882-6767 or go online to springfieldmfi.com and register there. Also, on the homepage, springfieldmfi.com, there was a wonderful article last week in the Newsleader by Sony Hocklander, Building a Better Marriage. That is on our website. That is absolutely incredible. There's some good information there. WK was part of the interview for that, along with some other counselors here in town, and they had some great thoughts and insights. So go to the homepage, springfieldmfi.com, and check that out. Also, the radio archives we have there, every show, including this one, is archived and will be there to be able to listen to at your convenience or to send to a friend. So far, we've had over 33 countries check us out online. So continue to spread the word. It's your life.
And it's your choice.
Make it a great one.